12:05 the time. Welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, man, thanks so much for giving us some time.
You bet. Most wonderful time of the year, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
It is a fantastic time of year. I just love it, man. I'm so excited for all of college football. But in particular, we're talking to you, of course. I love watching Mountain West games, and I'm ready for a big weekend. I know we'll talk Boise State, Oregon State. But last night, Fresno State did Fresno State things. They win big over Cal Poly 35-7.
Yeah, and it really didn't have to show a lot. I mean, it wasn't fancy. Obviously, it was just kind of flexing your muscles, and we see all the time where FCS teams sometimes come out of the woodworks and surprise a team. So anytime you're able to go out there and not have to show a lot, race out to a 21-point lead and then kind of cruise from there. Obviously, Fresno State has some heavy hitters in the not-too-distant future, including USC. But to get a win under your belt, Jeff Tedford back on the sidelines, he's loving life. That was good to see.
Yeah, and well, and Jake Haner, we've talked a lot about him and how good he can be. Just a little 377-yard game. No big deal from him.
Yeah, no, and they're so, he's as good as you're going to find in the league this year. And obviously, he had an opportunity and did briefly leave for the University of Washington to go with Kalen DeBoer. But for him to come back and be the leader for that offense, he's a big reason that they are one of, if not the preseason favorites. And as you said, Jake Haner doing what Jake Haner does, you know, not too bad. 36-42 for 377. You'll take that every single Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and the next couple of weeks will be interesting because Oregon State, USC, as you mentioned, how good do you think Fresno State can be? I mean, when it's all said and done, I mean, do you see this team getting into that top 25?
Oh yeah, I definitely see them as a top 25 team. I really do think that they are a dark horse team to crack into a New Year's Six.
Wow.
You know, they're not going to be a college football playoff team, but I think they are one of those teams nationally that should be in the early conversation and shouldn't be surprised if they're the best Group of Five team and ultimately gets to play in a New Year's Six. You've got all the ingredients. I mean, you've got a veteran quarterback, which is so important in college football. You've got a very good running back in Jordan Mims. You've got an elite wide receiver in Jalen Cropper. And then you've got a defense that's anchored by Evan Williams, who is a guy who probably will be in some All-America considerations. So you've got leaders across the field, and you've got you know, guys that are playmakers in very, very key spots, the glamour spots, so to speak. So I don't think that there's any reason that Fresno State can't be in that conversation for most of the year.
Now, what about the counterpart to that? What we'll see, you know, whether it's going to be Boise State or Air Force. Boise State has a good test coming up this weekend. But Air Force, Jesse, Northern Iowa, they should roll over this team this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, those as we said, those FCS openers can be a little bit scary sometimes, right? I mean, we just passed the 15th anniversary of Appalachian State beating Michigan. FCS teams had 12 victories over FBS teams in 2021, so it's not uncommon to see that. And this actually is probably the best team that Air Force has opened up against in the Troy Calhoun era. It's always been an FCS team, you know, VMI, Northwestern State, Colgate. But Northern Iowa is one of the heavy hitters at the FCS level. They've made it to a national championship game. They can routinely are in the FCS playoffs. So this is not a layup by any means. This is the best team that they face. But with Air Force having the players that they have back and the expectations, I don't think that Air Force should struggle. But I wouldn't be surprised if Northern Iowa kind of flexes its muscles a little bit and makes it a little bit closer than what we have seen from Air Force. I believe over the last 15 openers, the Falcons have won those games by an average of 35 points. I bet you this one is closer. I bet you it's closer. UNI is a very quality FCS program.
How, and on the same, I'll kind of ask you the same question I asked about Fresno State. Obviously, like you said, you got to be careful this weekend. But if Air Force walks away, gets a dub, feels good about it. How good do you think they can be? I'm pretty high on this Air Force team, Jesse. I think they could be a really, really great football team this year.
This is the most optimistic I have been about an Air Force team outside of the start of the 2020 season. And what I mean the 2020 season, you know, in June 2020, with the guys that were coming back after beating Colorado and beating Wazoo and a 10-win team, they had most of those guys coming back in 2020. And I said, this is the team that probably contends and maybe wins the Mountain West. And obviously, as history has it, right, the 2020 season was nothing like any of us thought it would be. Air Force ended up playing just a handful of games. Most of the guys opted out and took the turn back, did not play that season. So I see this team in that same vein. I mean, you've got a veteran quarterback in Isaac Daniels, third year he's starting. You got Brad Roberts, kid from Ralston Valley in Arvada, is the leading rusher, leading returner in the Mountain West, almost carried the ball 300 times last year, over 1,300 yards. And then you've got a defense that lost some guys. You lost a generational player like Jordan Jackson, who's now with the Saints in the NFL. But by and large, the depth returns. I think Air Force right now is the best team in the Mountain Division, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was Air Force Fresno State in a Mountain West championship game, and I would not be surprised if Air Force was a team that hosted that. You know, obviously there's a lot of things that need to take place, but Fresno State has to play, San Diego State has to play Boise State. So if, for argument's sake, you're up against a Fresno State or San Diego State, there's a chance you might have a better conference record, which would dictate you're the hoster. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to take place, but don't be shocked if Air Force is, you know, one of those teams. It's a top 25 team at the end of the year with wins over Colorado and, you know, Boise State. This team could make some national noise as well. They have the pieces in place here in early September to do that.
So we, I mean, just listening to you talk, Jesse, I mean, we could be looking at both of those teams easily jumping into that top 25. And as you said, Fresno State could be even better than that. I'm with you there, too. And boy, wouldn't that be the matchup? I would absolutely sign up for an Air Force Fresno State Mountain West Championship game.
No question. I think that is one of the likely scenarios. Does Boise State deserve to be in that conversation? Of course they do. They got a lot of seniors back, which, you know, sometimes can really take you places. I'm still high on Utah State. They didn't start out of the gates very quickly. But I think there's three teams in the Mountain Division that are all in that conversation. But Air Force's schedule really sets up for them well. And that's why one of the reasons I think this could be the team. You got Colorado at home. That will project nationally. Colorado, obviously, a down year. But if you're able to get a win over Colorado, well, they beat a Pac-12 team. Okay, great. You have home games against Colorado, Colorado State, Boise State, Navy. You got a lot of your big games at home. You do go on the road to Utah State. You do go on the road to San Diego State. But if you're able to get to that 7-1 in conference play, like they have done here recently, I think that you're in position, and the schedule sets up that you got a chance to maybe reach those marks.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Okay, Tulsa, Wyoming, Jesse. This one's interesting. Tulsa favored by 6.5. It's in Laramie. Wyoming had a rough outing last week. Terrible, terrible day of passing for the Cowboys. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, this is a tough game. I am sure that Craig Bohl has gotten the guys' attention, because I don't think anybody was thrilled with the performance. Now, going on the road to a Big Ten opponent, that's never easy, but I expected maybe a little bit more. Andrew Peasley was not terrific. The offensive line was not terrific. Look, if you don't block, you can have a capable quarterback and a really good running back in Titus Wynn. If you don't have the guys up front to protect or to move the line of scrimmage, you got no shot. And I think that's probably where it starts and finishes, as far as the improvement would be up front. It's a very young team, only three seniors on the entire roster. So this is a team that's going to be feeling itself out, I think, early. And Tulsa is certainly no layup. You like to have them at home. That's a great game day atmosphere up there. Wyoming does well against teams out of the AAC. But you're right. This is one of those games that if you're Craig Bowling Company, you don't want to start out of the gates 0-2. So you take advantage of that hometown crowd and hopefully can beat the Golden Hurricane.
Yeah, I'm with you. That one's going to be that's going to be a tricky contest for the Cowboys. All right, the another huge game. I mean, mainly because of all the eyes that are going to be on this program. Colorado State, Michigan, 10 o'clock ABC. Michigan's ranked 8th. We all know about Michigan. Man, this is going to be a heck of a – I don't want to call it a test, Jesse, because I think we all kind of just want to see what CSU is about. But a heck of an opportunity to showcase your program a little bit.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, Michigan obviously is – it's the first time they've seen live reps against another team. So if you're able to you know, land some punches early – and Jay Norvell will certainly try to do that with the way that they're going to run that offense, right? I mean, he makes it. Make no mistake, they're going to throw it downfield. And I think they've got some of the players that will compete very well in our league. I think they are probably a bowl team. But going on the road against a team that the defending Big Ten champs, who, you know, obviously a top 10 program, it's going to be tough. But again, you know, these opening week matchups, there's always a few of those that raise your eyebrows. And we don't know what we have in Colorado State. We just don't. It's a better team than last year. It's a more talented team than last year. You got a better coach than last year. So why not? Why can't you go up there and hang with Michigan? Does anyone expect them to go to the Big House and win? Probably not. But to go up there and put together a good showing and get fans excited in Fort Collins and Colorado and Ram Nation for what could be, why not? Why not go up there and put your best foot forward and show everybody this is a different program than we have seen in the last couple of years?
Jesse, I'm getting so many people that want to know, like, do you think CSU, what is it, 30.5 right now? Do you think CSU hangs in enough to ultimately cover that spread?
Well, so when you run that wide open offense, that can go two different ways, right? You're giving the ball back to Michigan a lot, but you also have the opportunity to score a lot. You know, those guys that make those lines are smarter than I. There's a reason that they live in a much bigger house than I. So I don't have any reason to not trust that probably here on Friday afternoon is right. But again, no one's seen this offense with these players in these uniforms run. So sometimes that works to your advantage. There's not a whole lot of tape on this group together, especially the quarterback, right? You can go back and look at, you know, what Jay and Matt Mummy did at Nevada and say, okay, well, you know, some of these players, many of these players were at Nevada, so you try to defend that way. But there's so many unknowns that makes it a little bit tougher to prepare for. Why not? Why can't you keep it to a couple of score game and give yourself a shot in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there for sure. All right, a big one on Saturday night: Boise State, Oregon State. This is it's an opportunity. Boise State. We're talking Air Force. We're talking Fresno State. Boise State. I mean, you and I joked about it a couple of weeks ago. You know, last year, what, they win 7 games last year, Jesse, and it was like, oh, it's a down year for us. I'll take 7 for CSU today. But Boise State. Do they turn this thing around and maybe they pull off a, you know, again, I think Oregon State's 2.5 point favorites in this. It's pretty close there. What do you think about this matchup?
So I think this is one of those games that Boise State has to win if they truly are, quote unquote, back from that down year of 7 wins. I think this is one of those ones that they have to have. It's a winnable game. Look, Oregon State obviously had a tremendous year last year, went to the LA Bowl before Utah State got them. But I've seen a lot of stuff written about Oregon State that people are pretty high on the Beavers. I don't think that there's any reason, though, that Boise State can't go on the road where they've been very, very successful and win. And I think this is one of those winnable games that Andy Avalos can get and needs to get if you truly are going to be that team that thinks it's going to be back in that Mountain West championship consideration. This is a program that is 17-4, I think, over the last four seasons on the road. Only teams like Bama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson have fewer road losses during that span. So this isn't going to it's not going to intimidate Boise State. And you got a senior quarterback, so I like Boise State under the lights in Corvallis. I think they get this one, and that would be great for them, and it'd be great for the Mountain West.
It'd be huge, absolutely. Jesse, I love it, man. I can just kind of run you through all of kind of the bullet points, and you just rock as always, my friend. And let's see what happens. Should be a fun weekend for Mountain West football.
We got to get a few of these, and I like our chances. I appreciate the invite, Brady. Be well this weekend, and enjoy the kickoff of the college football season nationwide.
All right, my friend, you too. We'll talk to you soon. Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. I could see Boise State winning, beating Oregon State. I could see that. But I tell you what, Oregon State, like, the pressure's on Oregon State to win this game. They need to win this game, and I know everybody needs to win the game. But you're trying to put, I always say this, you're trying to put your best foot forward if you're in the Pac-12 so you don't get left. If something does happen and more teams end up leaving the Pac-12, this is one of those situations where if you're the Oregon State Beavers, you're looking at Boise State going, yeah, we got to beat a pretty good Mountain West team, and that'll help us out in the long run. They play Fresno State next week, so they could get, is that right? Is that right? Am I wrong on that? You gave me a look. No, I'm right.
That was an intrigued look, not a confused look.
Yeah, so Oregon State has to play two of the best Mountain West teams in 2 weeks in a row. So your season could be donezo thanks to the Mountain West Conference. 21 minutes after the hour. We'll get to more texts here. We have transitioned. We forgot about it Tuesday. I got a $15 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill for the best text of the day. B-Rad's there. Mysterio, that's not bad. You know, picks are hard to give credit to before, right? You can't. If somebody calls, I think I gave Noob one time because he called like the exact spread of a UNC basketball game. And I don't know, something crazy, like 46 points or something like that. He called it on the nose. And so I went back and hooked him up and said, hey, and I think a lot of hooligans got pissed off because I took the winner away from that day. But I'm like, dude, he called it 100% right. So it's hard to reward picks. If you're giving me picks, I get it. But for Top Text Friday, I don't know. 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't forget Football Fridays coming up at 1 o'clock. We've got I've got my picks. I think I'm ready. I've been working on them even throughout the show today. So I think I'm getting ready for this. We'll see what happens. I got a lot to pick from. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's time for the Lunch Rush, taking a look at some of the top stories trending in the sports world nationally. This one's a bummer of a story, man. Boston Celtics, former Nugget, Danilo Gallinari, torn ACL, sources say. They're saying, hey, maybe a late season return, but I don't know. I mean, you wonder about that. Now, he was playing for the Italian national team, and you know, you're not going to... You don't want to knock anybody for playing for their country and their communities and all this. You don't want to do that, but you know, this is not like when you have a European player. Aren't you a little? Do you get a little concerned as a GM, as an owner, and all that when guys like Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Danilo Gallinari, Giannis Antetokounmpo, those guys are playing a lot of basketball all the time before the season? You know, obviously you worry that they could get hurt or just be worn out, this is one of those bad examples. And again, Gallo's not like, he's not Giannis and those guys, but maybe a decent piece to what Boston was trying to do again this year and just be better. But bummer of a story, man. I'm a big Gallo fan. Loved when he played for the Nuggets. All right, Angel, I got to do this one. Top-ranked Alabama kicks off the season as one of the biggest preseason national title favorites of the past 20 years, plus 180 to win the college football playoff.
Big year.
Yeah.
You know, last year was a rebuilding year for that team. You know, didn't finish where they wanted to, lost to Georgia in the championship game. Bryce Young coming off the Heisman, you know, winning season. Got Will Anderson, probably the best defensive player in football right now. So they're looking to reestablish their dynasty.
It was a down year last year.
It was.
Oh, those guys
It was a young
sucked.
Team.
They were terrible last year. Had no reason to be even on a football field, Angel. It was pathetic. It was embarrassing. You didn't win at all. Oh, my goodness. But you almost did. You got second. Oh, okay. They're so... Listen, I don't hate greatness, though. I don't. I get it. Nick Saban is phenomenal. I don't mind rooting for greatness. I'm not an Alabama hater, Angel. Like, I think
Thank you for that.
A lot of people are. I like Tom Brady. I like Nick Saban. I like greatness. I like history. It's great. And Alabama certainly continues to make history. Jimmy Garoppolo says he was pretty shocked that they signed him this deal. He was very shocked, actually. He said, returning wasn't really on my mind, to be completely honest. I was training out here. I had to be here. So I was here for that. I was just trying to get my body right. I felt very confident out there, and I knew that I was ready to roll. I just need to figure out where it was. And things kind of fell into place these last couple of days. Well, I think everybody was shocked. Trey Lance is probably shocked that you decided to go. You sit down with Garoppolo, and you have this long conversation and say, hey, Trey's the guy, okay? So we'll probably move you. You know, we'll do something like that. But Trey's the guy going forward. And then... not so fast. We're going to sign you to a one-year extension and also put a no-trade clause in there. Not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. Just in case we need you.
Just in case.
Just in case our number three overall pick, who we traded a bunch of picks for, doesn't work out.
It's got to mean that they're not confident in Trey Lance, right? Because I've always said this. You know, listen, it's not a bad problem to have necessarily to have two good quarterbacks on your team. It's a rare thing. Not everybody has two starting caliber guys or that they believe. But the problem with that is when one quarterback struggles even for a little bit, you start to get a division. Not just amongst the fan base, but in the locker room too. You know that there's going to be receivers or linemen on that team going, not the way Jimmy would have done it. You know, I mean, that's... But if it's a backup that's a true backup, like nobody's going to be, for Russell Wilson and Brett Rippon, nobody's going to say, hey, Russell struggled today. Man, I bet Brett would be better. Like nobody's going to do that. Not now anyway. But for this, Trey Lance struggles right off the bat. You don't think teammates in that locker room are going to go, dude, what are we doing here? This guy led us to didn't they go to the NFC Championship last year?
Man, they went to the Super Bowl two years before that,
the NFC Championship last year. And I know Jimmy wasn't, like, the reason for that, but, you know, he did enough.
He was a stable force in that team.
Yeah, and he did enough to lead them as a quarterback. I mean, you can't be an atrocious quarterback, typically, and go to NFC Championship games and go to Super Bowls. You typically just can't do it. So I still think that this whole thing is weird, dude. Like, it's just strange to me.
No, it's a storyline that's going to be stuck with San Francisco until something happens. Either Trey goes out and lights it up and is the number three guy we all think he is, or he struggles, maybe not as much, but if it goes into 3-4 weeks, you got to start wondering if Jimmy G gets the call.
And I mean, from an analytics standpoint, just viewing these guys as numbers makes total sense. It's not unlike what your boy Nick Saban did. He wanted to keep Jalen Hurts there. Even though Tua was the guy, but wanted to keep Jalen there, it's kind of like that situation. Analytically, it looks that's the thing you got to do, because if I can keep this backup, okay, if it doesn't work out with Trey Lance, then we've got Garoppolo. But these are people. They're not robots. They're not just numbers. And you just wonder, after a couple of weeks, if it doesn't work for Trey, when will the clamoring start? And it's not just going to, I'm not just talking about the fan base. I'm talking about in the locker room. And if he's out of sight, out of mind, you might have guys go, why did we get rid of Jimmy G in the first place? But if he's there amongst the team every day, you're going to get that. You're going to get clamoring. I guarantee it. Unless Trey Lance can be as good as advertised. And I kind of think he will. I don't know. Is it they play the Bears first game, right?
Yes.
So Trey Lance, Justin Fields. Two guys that I think potentially could be good quarterbacks, but we still don't really know much about these guys. Noob says, I thought Alabama didn't rebuild. They just reload.
Noob. Play along.
Come on, noob.
It was a down year.
Yeah, noob. Bama was terrible last year. Ugh. I couldn't even watch that garbage. What did they lose? How many games did they actually lose? Did they lose two or just the one? Just the one. Yeah, it's disgusting. How do you take it if you're a Bama fan? How do you look at yourself in the mirror, Angel, knowing that you lost one game and became the second best team last year in the country, and it was all this rebuilding year?
It's not easy. There's always a target on your back. There's always expectations. The standards are just different down there, and as Coach Saban says, you got to trust the process.
It's crazy. Well, and the thing about college football, Angel, like, when you get good, you typically stay that way. That's why coaches get fired, because when you get good and you build a reputation, where do five stars want to go? Oh, that team. So once you get and find a way to win consistently, and that's easier said than done, but once you do it, your job gets easy. Like, how hard do you think Nick Saban has to work now in his recruiting process? They come to him.
Oh, it's super easy for him. Like, I mean, it took him, his first year he went like 7-6. The next year they went like 10-2, lost to Florida in the SEC championship game. And then 2009 they won their first title with Saban. Yeah. So it took him, you know, 3 years to get that going. And that was mostly based off the recruiting of Julio Jones. He was like the first big guy that they got there. And so now you look at, you know, however many years passed, Saban just walks in the room. He's either going to point you at a box of championship rings or he's going to point you at a list of NFL players.
Yeah, well, and they're coming to him. You know, they're all contacting him. I saw an interesting tweet from the Rams offensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, who, let me just find it, because it just kind of shows you the recruiting process and how, I don't want to say easy, it's not easier because now everybody can do it. Mummy shared this on Twitter. thank you for that. Angel, you're good. You get it, man. I found it. Mummy says, 2024 QBs. We looking for that next one that will throw for 10,000 yards in a career. We're about to make Fort Air Raid proud. And the big question is, do you want to let it fly? Who's next? And he shared that cool Rams thing with Tool music playing underneath it. You know his DMs went crazy. You know there were young quarterbacks or dads of quarterbacks or coaches reaching out to him. 379 likes on it and counting. 64 comments. So, like, Saban doesn't even have to do that.
Saban doesn't even have Twitter.
He doesn't have social media. But you know that people are just, like, coming to him. Recruiting is easy when you get good.
And it's not just, hey, you come to Bama, you're going to have instant success. It's, you come to Bama, you're working with the best of the best, so you better bring your game every single practice, every single rep. And that's how they get so successful, because the players buy into that you know, mentality.
Yeah. It's just sickening, though, Alabama and all that. 38 minutes after the hour. We'll jump out real quick. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Doing a headbang a little bit. My hair's getting to the point where it's so long now, Angel. It falls down. Kind of falls down. I've got the wavy look going now. Not as long as yours, but...
Oh, no.
It's getting there. Trimmed up the sides a little bit. This is getting a little porcupine-y. But we'll see. I don't know what the end game is for the hair. My wife, like, always says, hey, what's going on with that? What are you up to with that? What are you going to do with it? I'm like, I don't know, Brittany. Just let it be.
Sometimes it's just a simple decision and just... Nope, I'm just not going to cut it.
I just don't want to cut it anymore.
That was me.
Yeah.
Two years ago.
Have you always had long hair? So just 2 years ago.
You've never met me with short hair.
No, you've always had long hair.
Yeah,
So you didn't have long hair at any point before the last 2 years?
No, I had short hair up until about March of 2020, and then I obviously shut down everything, so I was like, I'm not going to get a haircut.
Just let it go.
And then my original idea was, oh, I'm going to grow it out till graduation, and then by then I was already attached, and I love it, and it's finally in a place where I like it now. I got my routine, and here we go. I think I got it cut in June, just trimmed up like a few inches.
Yeah. Now you're a long-haired guy.
That's just it. I couldn't cut it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you get to that point and it looks good, you go with it.
It's that I saw this. It's like every young man goes through that phase where they're like, I want to be some fantasy knight or like an Aragorn or something.
Uh-huh.
So you just grow out the hair. You start working out again, and it's just a new mentality.
True, it is.
We're going on an adventure.
There's something mental about it. mental about it. Noob says, so if Alabama was rebuilding last year, what do we call what CU has been doing the last 15 years? Resucking? Ooh! Noob.
Good one.
So Georgia got lucky last year because Alabama was rebuilding. I'm with you.
Yes.
Hey, Saban said it.
We were down our top two receivers. So.
Oh, God. It's gross. How do you guys even are people?
Go get more 5 stars.
Yeah, it sucks to be a diehard Alabama fan. You guys always win stuff. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question. Are the Buffs covering 13.5 tonight against TCU? Where are you leaning on this, Angel? Are you leaning one way or the other?
I'm leaning more towards CU doing something good. My stepbrother graduated from CU, so I have some family ties to it.
And they're going to the game. They're going tonight,
my
right?
Stepbrother, stepparents, or stepmom and dad are going to the game tonight. Then they'll be up here in Greeley tomorrow for UNC. But I'm leaning towards CU. I had them covering this morning on Good Morning NoCo. So see if that.
So you can't change it.
I can't change it, but I can always pick them to win.
It's true. That's true. You could change it to that point. I don't know, man. I'm just not. I don't know. I'm torn on that one, and I'm torn on Wyoming-Tulsa. You have anything for me there? After hearing Jesse, he's like, it's good. So Tulsa's beat the hell out of Wyoming before, like a couple times. I was reading Cody Tucker's story this morning, just outlining some of those games, and Wyoming just looked so bad last week. They can run, but that's about it.
Yeah, and you kind of want to lean into, it's their home opener, you want to lean into that home crowd, but how energetic is that crowd after last week?
I don't know.
How confident are they that they can, you know, do something against a Tulsa team that could go in there and just beat them?
Do they often sell out at, what is it, War Memorial Stadium? Do they often sell out? I just remember the Wyoming basketball game last year, and it was against, like, San Diego State, and it was cold and icy, and I get that, but I think it was, like, half capacity, man. Like, they didn't even sell. That was a huge game for them. Jeff Linder, Wyoming, trying to be a March Madness team competing. I think they were still in the thick of it to win the Mountain West regular season. They were still in the mix, at least. And the crowd didn't really show up. So, I mean, what is a first home game of the season look like? Especially after you just got stomped by Illinois. What does that look like? I don't know. What is that crowd? I mean, like tonight, I think CU's crowd's going to go nuts.
Well, I read they sold out their student section tickets, which, you know, figures, but also I think like 42,000 other tickets were sold.
What is that? What does Folsom hold? I never can remember what stadiums hold what. How many? There's just
Folsom
a lot
Fields,
of numbers.
53,750.
So you said how many tickets are sold right now?
About 42,000 outside of the students.
No, that's...
And their student section is massive.
So that's going to be close to a sellout then. We're going to get close, aren't we?
I mean, who doesn't want to go see Ralphie run?
Yeah. Apparently run the whole length of the field.
800-pound buffalo.
According to Mark Johnson, he corrected me on that pretty fast. Because I, for some reason, thought Ralphie did not run the length of the field last year. Because she was too little. They just wanted to do a halfsies. And I must have dreamt that somewhere. Because Mark would know. If there was anybody that's going to tell you something CU-related, it's going to be Mark Johnson. So I was wrong on that. So, happens once in a while. I think the CU saying for the last 15 years has been, we are one player away. If you can't tell, Noob is a Rams fan.
Oh, really?
If you can't tell, he is. Rams fans were pissed at me for going to the Front Range Huddle. Was that last week? 2 weeks ago? I have no concept of time. I told you this. But I root for this state to be good. When they're not playing each other, I root for all of them to win.
I mean, don't you want CU to get better so maybe somewhere down the line they reschedule the Mile High Showdown?
And they have that, kind of. Again, they'll be playing off and on, but it won't be like the Rocky Mountain Showdown like of yesteryear. It won't be every year, but they kind of have a few games slated. But yeah, you want both teams to do well so that when you play each other, that game means more for both teams, for the winning team. If you're a Rams fan, you want the Buffs to do well, and then if you beat them, that's on your resume now. That would be a big win for you. 12:49 the time. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. We got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. My picks will be in that hour officially. Where I'm leaning, you'll find out soon. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
This week's game beer of the week is going to be perfect for CU-TCU tonight. It's courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor at Crabtree Brewing, providing the beer at On the Rocks Liquor. Chunkin' Punkin' pumpkin-style beer. Pick up selection from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru or come inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. Free tastings today starting at 4 o'clock, just a few hours away. The good folks from Beatbox Party Packs will be on hand with assorted flavors to try. So there you go. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. Try to throw that away. Did I make it? I made it. Yeah.
Nice.
Just some of the cool things that I can do, Angel. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Buffs cover against TCU tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN? You said it's going to be a blackout game, too.
Blackout.
And they're wearing, like,
Their black
70s
uniforms with the 1970s throwback helmets.
Okay, cool.
They look nice.
I always, cover your ears, Rams fans, I always loved the Buffs colors, the Buffalo, like.
Solid.
My dad was a big call. He liked he liked both teams, CSU and CU, but we had more CU stuff growing up. We just had it. We weren't diehard college fans, though. We liked both teams. We watched both teams. I didn't go to school at any one of them, but I've always been like that. There's a lot of people that are like Buffs fans hate the Rams, and Rams fans hate the Buffs. There is also, though, an alarming number of diehards on either side that say, you know what, honestly, I do root for them when they're not playing, because that's the way it should be. But
they're all Broncos fans.
It's true. Maybe it shouldn't be, Angel. I don't know, because I like sports hate. Sports hate, not real hate.
A healthy rivalry is good.
And you hate, because I do, I think that's good for your teams. But I like it when they're both good. Like, doesn't matter, you go talking trash to each other, and the Rams won 3 games a year before, and the Buffs won 2 games, and you're going up against each other. It's like, it's not great. But if you're both, like, consistent bowl teams, you know, maybe you're sniffing your conference championship game once in a while, then it's big. Then it's more fun to get into it. But I did. Yeah, we had Buff stuff. A lot of it. I don't know if you just couldn't buy Ram stuff like at the Walmarts we went to, but there were Buff stuff everywhere. And we did. My brother had a lot of Buff stuff, and that was kind of, as a kid, I just liked the logo. I do like that 70s logo. That's cool. I like the throwback stuff. I think it's kind of neat. Broncos have their uniform release or whatever of each game they're going to be playing. And I like the orange uniforms the best, but they got a couple of blue games, two blue games this year.
Sunday Night Football, they'll be wearing their all-blue alternates, wearing their throwback color rush against the Raiders at home.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, Football Friday coming up next. You don't want to miss it. Let's bust into it. Let's start breaking into some games here so we can lead up to the picks. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.